time we've been here on a Sunday morning. We've been here virtually before. I think like 3 years ago, you took us in and we were able to show them. But I have to say that the Sunday morning in person experience is far better because this is the first time all summer that we've had a brass band. And we were, it was amazing at the beginning because it kind of started with the Carl Gressley feel, and then it moved into almost like a Star Wars feel, and then VeggieTales, and then back to Carl Gressley. It was amazing. So thank you, Trinity Brass. That was beautiful. That's something we haven't gotten to experience all summer. As we get rolling here this morning, I hope you have our prayer card there. That's out on the table just to the right outside the door there. We would love for you to come by and pick one of those up on your way out. But if you could go to the next slide, I want to take you back about 3 years. Because 3 years ago, September of 2022, that's our prayer card from 3 years ago. And we were on the plane in St. Louis, getting ready to go back to Spain for another 3 years. And I've kind of come to a place where every time we're heading into, it could be at the beginning of a new year, it could be at the beginning of a retreat that we're doing, or at the beginning of the next 3 year term, I've gotten into, you could call it a spiritual discipline, of just asking Jesus, do you have an advanced word for us? It could be a word of encouragement, it could be a word of warning. But Jesus, do you have anything that you would like to say to us as we're heading into this? And so we're on the plane and I ask Jesus, in the next 3 years, do you have the advanced word? And the word that kept coming to me, and this doesn't always happen so quickly, but the word that kept coming was the word battle. The word battle kept coming. And so all of that first flight, and then the transatlantic flight, as well, just the word battle kept coming to me. And so finally, I leaned over to Rachel and told her, look, I asked Jesus for an advanced word for these next 3 years, and he keeps giving me the word battle. I just wanted to share it with you. And she looks at me and just kind of put her head in her hands. And Jesus told me, sometimes it's better just to walk by faith and deal with whatever comes in the moment. But you had to ask, and now we know that we're going to be facing some facts. And it reminds me of something that John Eldridge writes and says quite often, that is very orienting for us as Christians living in our world and in our time. He says this. He says, we live in a love story. The story of God's love for his world, the love story of his love for us. We live in a love story, but that story is set in the context of a peace war. And when you look at Scripture from Genesis 3 on through the Old Testament, you see the theme of battle coming time and time again. Even if you look at the Psalms, battle is mentioned, some scholars say, up to 100 times throughout the Psalms. When you look at the life, the ministry, the teachings of Jesus, you can go back to the previous one, but we'll get to that in a second. When you look at the life and the teachings of Jesus, you see the theme of battle coming up time and time again. And then of his disciples, Peter, John, then Paul, in their lives, in their writings, the theme of battle and the spiritual battle coming up time and time and time again. It's a key theme throughout Scripture, and it's what we've been reminded of over these past 3 years. We walk with Jesus. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is just share with you a few battles that we've been walking through, that we've been facing on a different front, but also some of the truths and some of the lessons that Jesus has been teaching us through. So here's battle lesson number one. Battle lesson number one, and you can go to the next slide for this one. Spiritual battle is real. It's not metaphorical. It's not merely figurative. Spiritual battle is real, and just in the passage that Pastor Les read before, and we can put it on the screen again, Ephesians 6 is probably the key passage that we read, that we think of when it comes to spiritual warfare, where Paul says that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual forces of evil and heavenly realms. So when we were going back in 2022, we were actually quite excited. God has left some surprising doors for ministry in our town in Mexico. And it was through baseball in Spain. Like, that's unthinkable. That's how wild God is. Because baseball is not the national pastime. Soccer will always be king. But baseball was an avenue, a door that God had opened through our daughters in their school. They were going to a local Spanish Catholic school. And we had the opportunity to serve baseball and Jesus every week with about 20 or 25 kids. And so as we went back, we were looking forward to getting back into this. And we got back on Thursday, September 8th. The following Wednesday, September 14th, I got a phone call from the after-school program director of the school. And he said, we're starting after-school programs in a couple of weeks. What do you need? Is there anything we just want to make sure that things are lined up? We had a great conversation, looking forward to starting the baseball club again. That morning, I ran into a couple of parents, and they said, you're offering baseball again, right? Because our sons just loved it. That was Wednesday morning. Wednesday evening, I get a call from the same after-school program director. He said, look, he said, I'm just the messenger, but baseball's been canceled. He said, the team of school directors met together and they decided that baseball was canceled. I can't tell you anything other than that. So I'm sorry. And as it turned out, there was a new director, a new pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. And we suspect that it also had something to do with the fact that he found out that we were evangelical Christians offering a really good activity in a Catholic context, and he didn't really like them. And there was nothing that we could do about it. The parents of the kids who came to baseball club, they wrote an angry letter to the director. He did not give a flying flip. What anyone said, baseball was simply canceled. We got canceled. Now, you have to understand, we were integrating in the community. We were meeting a desire and a need among the kids and the parents. We were connecting with them, sharing Jesus through baseball. Like, what could be better than that? Certainly, for a kid from a small town in America. But when you have doors wide open for the gospel, do you think that the enemy is just going to kind of stand there with his arms crossed and say, come on through? Come on, kids, now. Of course not. He will find ways to close doors and discourage us. And I don't mean to be alarmist with all of this spiritual warfare stuff, but it's true. It's what we've been living in over the past 3 years. And the truth was, we were deeply discouraged. We were deeply discouraged. Our daughters were as well. We found out that rage could be created if we sat around our dinner table and tried to process this. What just happened? What's going on? They were processing their emotions. They were saying things like, you know what I would say to the director if I found him in a dark alley? You know what I'd do to him? It's kind of dark, but it came from a place of deep, deep discouragement. It came from that heart. And it felt a little bit like what Paul writes at the beginning of 2 Corinthians. He says this in 2 Corinthians 1. So we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. And there was a part of us that felt like we had died. There was a certain dream there, but we weren't that far down the path of despair. But there was a certain death. And then Paul says this. He says, this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. And not just any God, the God who raises the dead. So in 2022, a dream had died. Some doors had closed. And then in 2023, God resurrected it in a totally different format. And it wouldn't be just for children from Miriam and Lori's school, it would be for children from all over our town, the town of Milford, in the form of a baseball camp. It wouldn't just be a baseball camp, it would be a Christian baseball camp. We were working with the town hall in offering a camp, and they knew that we were Christians, and they said, if you say that you're Christians on the publicity, yeah, you can do a devotional every morning, you can share your faith through this. And it turns out that in another one of our supporting churches, there's an ex-major league player who has his own baseball team. And so he was willing to come and be our key instructor for the week. And in 2023, we had about 32 kids participate in this baseball team. You can go on to the next slide. In 2024, we had 45 or 50 kids participate in this baseball team. And it just so happened that last year when they came the first week of July. Now, the first week of July is an important holiday for some of us. And we thought, well, why don't we just throw, we got a big bunch of Americans here, let's just throw a 4th of July party in the park and vote the whole town, we'll see who comes. And we'll share the gospel through that as well. And so we were there, about 250 people came to this thing. We had an idea of how we wanted to kick off the thing. My original idea was to play social and then was up to the source of my electric department. The idea got kicked down by our team. That was a little too over the top. I don't know what they were thinking. There's a big kind of flag there in the park, so it might have been disrespectful. So we came up with Plan B, and Plan B was to invite the town councilman from the town hall who had been helping us with all of the permits. Invite him to come and throw out the ceremonial first pitch. And so he comes, he throws out, and he's about to throw out the ceremonial first pitch. And I just thank him profusely for all of the help that he's given us during the preparation for the week and for the camp and this big party. And when I finished thanking him, he grabbed the microphone from me. He said, BJ, you're thanking me and you're thanking the town hall. We should be the ones thanking you and thanking your team for coming from the U.S. And not just to share baseball with our children, but to share positive values, even Christian values, with the children and the families in our town. The doors are wide open for you guys to continue this sort of activity in our town. And so the doors that have been closed, God opened back up. The dream that had died, God had resurrected it in a new way. And I tell you this just to remind you of something that you know. Spiritual battle is real. It is real. And you know this. If you want a marriage that thrives and deepens, not just throughout the years, but throughout the decades, that's something you're going to have to battle for. And if you want a church that's growing deeper in its love for Jesus and love for one another in a healthy way and reaches out to the community around you, you're going to encounter spiritual battle. If God puts a dream on your heart to pursue, have no doubt about it. There will be a fight for that dream. If you simply want to raise your children in a way that they love Jesus, to walk with them and have deep kingdom values in their heart, you're going to have to fight for that. If you simply want to live as an authentic follower of Jesus in a non-PG way in our world, in your workplace, in your daily life, you're going to have to battle. So let me ask you a question. Do you live your day-to-day life aware of that? Aware of that spiritual fight? Let me ask you a second question. This is important. Do you realize the deep, deep resurrection power of our God that is with us and in us as we walk into this family? He is the God who raises the dead. So we don't have to fear the dead, and we better not ignore the dead. We simply have to follow Jesus as he leads us into the path that he wants us to do. Lesson number two, we've been learning. The battle that God calls us to is actually often on the offensive. It's on the offensive, not merely on the defensive. We can go to the next slide for this one. And when I say offensive, that doesn't mean, I'm not saying that we can go around offending people around us unnecessarily. What I am saying is that when we look at Ephesians chapter 6 and we see the armor of God, some of those pieces of armor are defensive pieces of armor. You've got the helmet of salvation, you've got the breastplate of righteousness. But some of those pieces of armor are defensive as well as offensive. And so you have the sword of the Spirit, it's the word of God. You have the shield of faith. And in the Roman world, the soldiers used those shields not just to defend themselves against arrows and swords and things of that nature. They used it to prop their opponents as well. It was an offensive life. And so often, probably even in the messages that I preach, I kind of focus on the defensive nature of spiritual warfare that we need to defend ourselves, and that's real. But God also calls us out on the offensive against the enemy, the world, and the flesh. Think back to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, where God calls his people out and into the promised land, and they have to conquer town after town after town. He calls them out on the offensive. So let me tell you a little bit about our town. The town of Mecca. Not Mecca. That's in a different part of the world, and that they need prayer there too. This is Mecca. It ends in L. And it's a town of 16,000 people that up to about a year and a half ago had no established evangelical church. You can go to the next slide to see a little bit more of that. And about 67 years ago, we were in a moment of transition, and my father-in-law, who was a missionary in Spain for 47 years, still living there, in the neighboring town, he knew that we were in this moment of transition, seeking God's will and God's guidance, and he said, why don't you consider moving to Mecca? It's a town that has believers, but no one really cracked the code on how to establish and plant a church there. And so last year, God guided us to become part of a team planting a new church there that would focus on intentional community, that would focus on intentional discipleship and growth in small groups, an intentional focus on spiritual, relational, and emotional health, which a lot of us had come from churches where they weren't very healthy. And it also would not just be so inwardly focused that we would lose sight of the town around us, that we would look for ways to connect with our town community and share the good news there. And that would, yes, have weekly worship or celebrations, but when we meet together, it would be around tables. So that we would grow together, so that we can pray for each other, so that when I'm preaching, I stop after 15 minutes and people have the opportunity to talk about some aspect of something that I've been teaching on, and then we continue with more of the message. And so, what were four families that we began with, about 15 of us counting our kids, over the past year and a half, has become eight or nine families and 40 people over the past year, because God has called us out of the offensive, and He's just giving us growth. And when he calls us out on the offensive, I don't mean to be overly militaristic here. He calls us out on the offensive with faith, with the love, with healing, and restoration in the context of community. And let me tell you just about one of the couples that's come to be a part of our church community. Their names are Gonzo and Buddy. Speaking in American English, you could call them Ricky and Kid if you wanted to. Last summer, they came and they said, the answer to 4 or 5 years of prayer. And they said, what do you mean? And they said, well, you know, we've been praying for 4 or 5 years that someone would open a church here. We're not church planters. We are Christians, but we're not church planters. And, you know, we can't always travel to other towns, other cars. We don't always have the use of a car. And so you're the answer to our prayer. We got a little later in the summer. Said, you know, we were meeting together on Sunday morning, about 15 of us for prayer. And he said, would you guys just pray for me? I know that God has more for me. I want to seek Him. I want to be more like Him. I want to be the man that He created me to be. Would you pray for me to be that? And he just continued to be very, very faithful for me. In the fall, they called us up to church and they said, we don't know what God is doing in our lives, but He's making us grow in ways that we've never grown before. He's bringing something alive in us. We've attended other churches, but we've never really been a part of a church community like this where we've grown together with others. This past spring, Karina, we asked her to do a reading based on our Lack of Mary Magdalene for Easter Sunday morning. And she was just amazed that she would even be asked to do something like that to the church. He led the church service one Sunday morning. He was amazed that he was capable of doing something like that. He became part of our Wild at Heart Experience men's group, working through his past, processing his story with Jesus. And this couple, they're just growing. They're growing deeper in their love for Jesus, and it's showing in their marriage, in their family, and in their life. And just before we came to the States in May, they said to us, we have friends, we've got family who need to know Jesus as well. We want to be on mission to introduce Jesus to them and introduce them to Jesus, we want to do the same thing. Let me just do it. How is John calling you to be on this team? To go out and make peace of both faith and love into your community, to take your family, your workplace, and your circle of friends, and all your help on this team. Here's battle lesson number two. The battle is the first part. Now, what you see up there is a Roman breastplate. When Paul talks about the breastplate of righteousness, this is the image that he had in mind. The word breastplate, it's okay in English. I'm actually going to prefer the Spanish word for breastplate. It's the word cross. You can put that up there so that there it is, Korakha, because it protects and covers the corazón, the heart. And since you're among friends and family here, we're going to do a little Spanish lesson, all right? You ready? Okay, no one's judging you, but on the count of three, we're going to say that word Korakha together. You ready? Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Korakha. Korakha, because it protects the corazón, the heart. And for years, we kept hearing that there was just this great need for men's ministry. And that's what we were seeing as well. So many pastors and leaders were asking, what are we going to do with men? There are a few resources, there are a few events for men. And we see this in the church, we see the need in society as well. Just this need for truly good, wholehearted men. Because imagine, what would your world be like if the men that you knew were truly good, wholehearted men, recovering the image of God that we see in Jesus with all of the love and all of the strength that we see in him? That would be an absolute revolution for the world and for the church. And so we've been working with Wire at Heart, with their ministry, their approach to the masculine heart, and I'm very curious as well to engage and restore and strengthen men's hearts. And when we talk about ministry to the masculine heart, we're not really talking about trying to get men to be more in church or trying to get men just to be nice guys. That's nice and all, but the author of the gospel is a whole lot deeper and a whole lot better than that. And so what it is that it's an invitation to an expedition for men to come on an adventure with Jesus into their story, into their heart, and into all of the renewing and redeeming work that Jesus really offers us there, so that we can truly be on mission with him. We've been working in small groups and you can go into the next slide. There's a resource that we just dug over the past year in Spanish. It is just so deeply good, so deeply well done. It's called Wild at Heart, the Wild at Heart Experience. It's a 6-session video series of 15-20 minutes each video to tell the men's story, and then goes into some teaching about the masculine heart. So good that we translated and dubbed it in Spanish that we're hoping to be able to share with other churches and other people who want to work with men throughout spring. We did it with the men in our local church community, and it was just amazing to see what God did there. But we've also been organizing retreats around Wild at Heart. And I can tell you a lot of stories that have come out of our retreat, but let me tell you this one. Our first retreat in 2023, there were about 60, 65 men there. And a month or 6 weeks after the retreat, I get a text message from a friend and co-worker who's a missionary in northern Spain. And he said, I don't know if you know this guy, we call him Dan, but he was at your retreat at the beginning of May, and Jesus has turned his world upside down in the best way possible there. I said, oh, I need to get in touch with him. So I got in touch with this guy, Dan. And in his own words, he was a pastor who was coming to the retreat really just to get away. He came to get away from his family, from ministry, from responsibility. And in about the third session of the retreat, Jesus confronted him. He said, Dan, I know about the secret life that you're living. He was deep in sexual addiction. And Jesus said, you can keep trying to hide that, or you can come with me on a when Daniel comes, he protects everything. To his wife, to his family, to his church. Dan gave up ministry so that he could get his heart back, so that he could get his integrity back, so that he could win his wife's heart back, so that he could recover the essence of who God meant when he created him. And he's done it. He's done it with the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, with some counseling, with some work in Bethesda, with wild at heart and hard appearance. He's done it. And I tell you his story just to remind you that Luke chapter 4 is a reality. Luke chapter 4, where Jesus comes onto the scene in Nazareth, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives are going to be released. The blind will see, the brokenhearted, they're going to have their hearts healed and bound up again, and the oppressed will be set free." And Jesus is doing it. Jesus is doing it, and we simply get to be a part of what he's doing. Helping men fight for and recover the hope and the life that Jesus has for them. So I just wonder how much Jesus is inviting and calling you to fight for the hearts of the people around you. Men, husbands, for your wife's heart, wives and women, sometimes being used by for our hearts to see. We aren't always doing something. Maybe parents, you need to fight for the hearts of your kids, or kids for the hearts of your parents. Maybe a neighbor, someone else in your life. Maybe you're in a moment where you need to make a decision to actually take some steps to fight for your own heart and seek the restoration that Jesus has for you. So God really is coming after hearts and lives, men and women in Spain. And I would say like never before, he is on the move. And friends, you are part of it. You are very much a part of it. Your prayer, your encouragement, your giving. We have a gift, a very small, simple gift. Not just the prayer card there on our table, but we also have a magnet that we'd like to give you so that you can put the prayer card on your fridge. Like whatever you reach into the fridge or whatever you reach for, I'm not judging you. You can remember to pray for us because we live and minister off of the power that comes through prayer. And this is just a reminder, it looks like a little shield and it says battling and prayer for hearts and Spain with the Whitakers because we need you. We need you. And so we need you to pray for us. If you would, as a church, you've been giving faithfully to us for 17 or 18 years, and we are just, when we think of your faithfulness, we are blown away at how God has ministered to us and expanded the kingdom through your giving. If on an individual level you would like to become a part of our support team, we'd love to talk to you about that as well. We're hoping to raise $200 a month this summer because you know as well as we do that inflation is real. So, friends, we are in a love story. That love story is set in context and fierce war. Got time to share one more lesson that we've been learning. Satan's attacks will become personal. And in this story, if we are engaged in a battle, we will receive battle. 2023 was a hard year. In addition to developing and leading Wild Heart, this men's ministry in Spain, and serving as part of the leadership for our mission organization in Spain, helping support our 50 or 60 missionaries that we have there, I was also serving as one of the pastoral elders of our local church. No single pastor, there's just a team of six pastoral elders. And throughout the year, there were mounting tensions, particularly against us in the church. The church had stagnated, it plateaued. We were working on a new vision that would hopefully revive and reignite a passion for discipleship and evangelism and growth through small groups. But there was a small and powerful group in the church that had been there since almost the beginning that just didn't like certain things about what we were doing or how we were doing it. And we could not only feel the tension that was mounting during the year, but we found out later that there was like this smear, kind of a political smear campaign going on behind the scenes, water cooler and catching up for me, personally, the word prayer that was not the tension that I could feel building at the church during the year, it was what I heard coming out of my heart and out of my mouth when I thought about the church. Because, you know, Jesus says that I'm going to go to the church and I'm going to speak. I'll be honest. So anytime I thought about church during 2023, anytime anyone asked me about, oh, how's church going? One of two things would come out of my mouth. Either I hate church. I don't know how church is going, I just hate it. Or even worse, church sucks. You don't know how church is going, church just sucks right now. And I didn't want to feel that way. It just felt like hard, joyless labor. I knew it wasn't good. I didn't want to love Jesus and hate his bride, but that's just where I was at. That was the state, that was the condition of my worn-out, worn-down soul towards church. And when you look at Daniel chapter 7, you find out that that's actually one of the strategies of the enemy to wear down and wear out the saints. So, September 2023, things that this word. Remember, that was September 2023, I got this word, battle. From Jesus, and there it was, a year later. There were personal attacks against us as elders. There were personal attacks against me. Without going into detail, by the end of October, the other five elders and I chose to step down out of leadership in hopes of preventing a church split, another church split for this congregation. And so we stayed in the church as a family, and one of the Sundays that we were there, I was there, the preacher was preaching, and I just could not listen. I couldn't pay attention to the sermon. I don't know if that ever happens to you. You don't have to confess it. You don't have to tell Pastor Les either. But that Sunday morning, I could not pay attention. And as I began just going through the thoughts and what was going on in my mind and my heart, I began reflecting on all of the difficult church situations that I had been through in this particular church situation, and I began talking to Jesus about this, and Jesus said, you know what, BJ, it's not just this difficult church situation that you're dealing with in your heart. It's actually, remember the one that you had in Pasadena, in Eastern Spain, when you lived there, you just kind of moved on from it. And don't forget about the one that you had when you were a youth pastor in Pennsylvania almost a decade and a half ago. And don't forget about that other difficult church situation that you had fresh out of college when you were a youth pastor in New Jersey. Oh, yeah, and don't forget about the one that you had in your home church that ended in a church split, and that pain is still there in your heart. Five church, very difficult church situations at least. And as Jesus began to expose that, it came with a question that was an invitation. He just went into those hard places, that pain that you had in the church. So I got in touch with a friend of mine who's a spiritual director that knows how to simply position people so that in prayer you can hear God's voice. And another thing he said, I think we can invite Jesus into these places of pain, but in order to do that, you need to write a psalm of lament. You know, if you look at the psalms, 150 psalms, about a third of them either are a lament, expressing pain, or they contain some sort of lament. So I want you to write your own psalm of lament about church, about the pain that you've experienced, all the difficulties, and then we'll meet together again, and you'll read it. I'll be there, but you're expressing it to God, and then we'll invite Jesus in for it. And so we met several weeks later. And I did. I did my psalm of lament. I just let it fly. I let it all out before God, all the pain, all the difficulties. I expressed it, and then we invited Jesus to come to speak. And I can't tell you everything that Jesus told me during that time, but I'd like to share just two key images that he gave me that had two words, two messages attached to them during that time of prayer. The first image was the image of the scars on Jesus' wrist. And the words that Jesus gave me were, I am the wounded healer, Jesus. And I'm inviting you through this to become a wounded healer with me. I am the wounded healer. And I'm inviting you to become a wounded healer. This is part of you becoming a wounded healer. It's a deep sense that Jesus is the one wounding me through developing and planting a new church. And I told you all of that so that I could tell you this. We are in a love story that's set in the context of a fierce war that's mostly against our hearts. And yes, we will be wounded if we're engaged in this war. But if you are here and you have wounds in your heart that are still unhealed, you need to heal them. Jesus is the wounded healer, and he longs to come into those dark and difficult places, those wounded places in our hearts and in our lives to bring healing and cleansing and restoration. He is the wounded healer, and he wants us to become